In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus heals a man and then asks everyone to keep it a secret. Can you imagine witnessing such an amazing event and then being told, but don't tell anybody? I mean, it's like going to a Georgia game and something great happened. Don't tell anybody. Or to see the Trojans trounce their opponents on Friday night. But don't tell anybody. Jesus heals a man who can't speak and can't hear. And those who saw it go right out and tell everyone, in spite of Jesus asking them otherwise. There's a point to all this. See, in order to understand why Jesus asked them to keep it a secret, it was because of where this miracle happened and who it happened to. Jesus was ministering on the Gentile side of the lake. How do I know that? The key is the Decapolis. That's 10 pagan cities on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, where the Gentiles live. Jesus healed legion and sent the demons into the swine, into the pigs who went into the lake. Jews don't raise pigs. On the other side of the lake where they had the good ribs. You see, those who were in power at the temple would have made a huge issue out of the fact that here Jesus healed someone who was not a Jewish believer. And therefore, that would be an abomination and they would claim him unclean for touching a Gentile. God had been speaking through his prophets to declare that that was going to happen. When the Jewish people rejected Jesus as the Messiah, the gospel would then be preached to the Gentiles. And I don't know about you, but we Gentiles are very happy that that happened. I want to remind you of the words of an old man. His name is Simeon. And Simeon held the baby Jesus in the temple in his arms on the day of Jesus' circumcision. Simeon said, and I quote this from Luke chapter 2, verses 30 to 32, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." See, it was God's plan all along that the world would receive the words of his Savior, not just the Jews. And then there are these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." What took place that day on the Gentile side of the lake showed Jesus purposely stepping into the world of the non-Jew. And then he took this Gentile man, the gospel says, away from the crowd. And Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Those are the words from today's Holy Gospel in Mark 7, 33 to 35. Isaiah foretold such miracles in verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 35. He said this, it was read this morning by our wonderful lector, Beverly. She said, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy." This was clearly pointing to the great healing will happen when Jesus is finally revealed as Messiah to the whole world and not just to the Jews. I believe that when Jesus comes again, "Come again, Lord Jesus, come quickly," everyone in the world will recognize him and praise him as the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the Christ. It'll be the choice of those people to recognize him, or you know where they'll go. It's simple. There's one way to live with Christ, and there's one way to live without Christ. And isn't it interesting that all of this takes place on that eastern shore by the Decapolis, the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, the Gentile side, among those 10 large pagan cities. Well, let me paint the picture for you of the importance of the Sea of Galilee being a gateway to the Gentiles. You know, it's very interesting. I have a painting in my office that was taken from a picture on the Sea of Galilee at a place called Magan Holiday Village, where I stayed twice. And yesterday, as Donnell was setting the altar, she came in and we were chatting in my office, and she asked me what that painting was. I said, well, just to the left of where that picture is, that's where I married a young couple on a Saturday night by the Sea of Galilee. But the Galilee is the extreme northern part of Israel, and it's the Galilee region, and in it is the heart of it is the Sea of Galilee. This freshwater lake is fed by one body of water, the Jordan River. It comes from the mountains, all of that glacial water, that snow water from the winter months. Yeah, it does snow in Israel, believe it or not. It snows in Jerusalem. I could show you pictures. Anyway, the water comes down in the Jordan River and brings all of that fresh water into the Sea of Galilee. As it's coming in, this body of water becomes the drinking water for all of Israel. There are pipelines running off of it today that bring water to all of Israel, fresh drinking water. Isaiah, in Isaiah 9:1, referred to this region as the Galilee of the Gentiles because much of the trade from the east, the far east, came to the west through this area. And its location was prime because there was a major roadway. Yes, there were roads in those days, and it was called the Via Maris. Via meaning through, and Maris to the sea. So the Via Maris, the way to the sea, and it connected the east, Babylon, etc., to the Mediterranean. And it would go through the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and then through Capernaum, and onto the Mediterranean Sea. Remnants of that roadway are still there today for you to see. And Jesus did the greater part of his ministry in this Galilee region. Let me tell you. And it was available to both Jew and Gentile. It was here that he preached the Sermon on the Mount, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It was here that he fed the 5,000 men and their families. It was here that he fed the 4,000 men and their families. It was here that Peter professed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God at Caesarea Philippi. It was here that Jesus performed so many of his miracles, including the woman with the bleeding issue that just longed to touch the hem of his garment on his way to bring a girl back to life, Jairus' daughter. It was on a mountain in the Galilee region that the risen Jesus Christ gave his disciples what we know as the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, telling the world filled with Jews and Gentiles about him. That was their call. And Jesus' ministry in the Galilee fulfilled what God predicted through his prophet Isaiah 700 years earlier. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, God said, a great light would shine in the Galilee after the arrival of the Messiah. And he predicted in Isaiah 49:6, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Yeah, even to Douglas. God fulfilled these promises that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. That is in Acts chapter 26, verse 23. I'm going to ask you to open your pew Bibles, if you would, please, to page 1709. 1709, these are words that are recorded, spoken by the Apostle Peter. And we'll be looking at verse 36 on page 1709. And it starts with verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished, and hear this, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, verses 36 to 46. Now, I have to tell you, one of my very favorite verses in all of the New Testament, actually in all of the Bible, comes in the first chapter of the book of Acts. That first chapter has an astonishing verse in verse 8. And Jesus is about to ascend, it's the resurrected Jesus, he's about to go back to heaven to ascend to the Father, and he instructs the disciples. Now, wait a minute. Was it just the apostles that were there, the 12? No, it's the disciples. So all of these believers that are with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, across from the city of Jerusalem, he tells them this, that you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Wow. What's a witness? You see an accident. Well, okay, I'll be your witness. A witness goes to court to tell people what they saw, what they heard, what they know. That's exactly what he's asking us to do. And this is everywhere, even to the ends of the earth. And it's not exclusive. It's not just for St. Andrew's Anglican Church or those who are celebrating the 125th anniversary next door at First Baptist. It's for the hearer to accept Jesus or not. Gentile believers are grafted in, Scripture tells us, to the family of Abraham and so adopted as heirs of the kingdom of God. That's in Romans 11, 17, that we as believers are grafted in to the family of Abraham. Now, since Jesus' words are no longer a secret, then we as members of the body of Christ are called. We're commissioned, we're charged, we're chosen with the job of sharing the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I got a little Greek lesson for you. People that were with me yesterday in our confirmation class got a couple of Greek lessons as we were sharing and learning about what it means to be an Anglican. But there's a Greek word that is all throughout the New Testament. And the Greek word is euangelia. Oh, what does that mean? It means good news. And good news, the euangelion, means the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to share. You know, how often do we tell people as witnesses of, hey, you want to hear what my son did? Or my daughters, what they did? My grandchildren, what they did? You're witnessing to an amazing event in their lives. And we tell people about our friends. You know, there's a group of people that are going to France in just a few days. And they're going to have a fabulous trip. And when they come back, they're going to witness to us about the amazing pictures and times that they had. So if we can witness about something like that, why can't we tell people about our best friend? The one who has saved us from sin and death? You're here this morning because he's your best friend. And you want your kids and your grandchildren to know about Jesus. I want you to remember the words that I spoke to you earlier from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Every day we should be looking for opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our lives and let them experience his love firsthand. It should never, ever be a secret again. It's truly no secret anymore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.